All right, welcome to Studio 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm joined by Rexton Lotus Justice today. Welcome to the program, Rexton.
Hey, third time's a charm.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody, we've been having trouble with some recordings and doing shows that don't load up, so we're doing a different methodology that Daniel's using, so hopefully this one takes. So, interesting stuff, huh? Going on,
yeah,
in the world.
Absolutely.
I heard there's some rebellions going on in various countries in Europe, the Netherlands, Sri Lanka. I believe Italy is having some uprisings. Germany, I understand, is having some starvation issues, which would be unusual for them. They're probably not used to that. Let's see what else is going on. I have heard that there's no controversy in this. Have you heard of this one, Daniel, that there's this 11-minute speech that Biden did in private, of course. They published it, right? And in this 11-minute speech, which I think he did about 3 days ago or something, he blinked like 7 or 8 times in 11 minutes. And have you seen this video?
No, but...
No?
Why is that a big deal? I mean, he's blinking.
Well, humans usually blink between 15 and 30 times a minute, and he's blinking less than one time in over a minute. So the question is this video, real? Is it CGI? Is it an automated, a bio programmable bot, or whatever? There are people that I talked to about it before I had heard it was being exposed or talked about that said that they kind of noticed that there was something odd about the video and noticed that he wasn't blinking of their own accord, that it was just really disconcerting to look at a face that never blinks while you're watching this video. So there's that. So apparently a most recent video put out that's supposed to be representative of Joe Biden has this whoever this is or whatever this is not blinking the normal rate that a man or a woman would. So there's a question as to the authenticity of it, whether it's really it's clearly not a human, whether it's CGI or whatever. But so that throws that into question. And then the question is, well, where's quote Joe Biden, right? Where's the instrument Joe Biden at? And I think it was when he was making a statement concerning COVID. I know that COVID's being busted out as being the cause of a lot of deaths. The immunization itself is causing birth defects in women. It's causing miscarriages. It's causing heart attacks and deaths by massive blood clots throughout the body, even in individuals that are healthy. I know that there's apparently a video going around where and I believe the family's actually looking into suing either the university and or the manufacturers of the vaccine, but where a young athlete falls down dead in the middle of a game at the age of 20 of a heart attack. And that's one of the things that's causing. It's actually suppressing people's immune system, and it's been proven that if you get more than two or more immunizations and or boosters, that your immune system is suppressed permanently, and it makes you less capable of developing any type of herd immunity whatsoever, and making it more opportunistic for other infections. These are things that are being exposed. You can watch Fox News. I think Tucker Carlson's a great source for this. These are actually factual things concerning COVID. Something on more of the private side of things, my side, and people that helped me is there actually was a group of people that had put forth a court of public record, created a court of public record in the territory of Ohio, and were actually using the internet and this platform on the internet as a court of record to bring forth claims against state agents and agencies that were openly committing crimes against humanity and people with their particular claims, and putting the claims up, putting the service of the claims, proving that civil procedures the standard default judgment through civil process were being observed. And that website and two other ones that were similar to it in what they were doing were taken down by, in, at least in their case, the Ohio public court case. On their website, they were actually hacked. Like the platform that was, or the company that was producing their platform and running the website for them was actually hacked. Not only was that company hacked, and they tried to rip the platform out of their control, including the domain name. They tried to rip the domain name out of their control. They actually ripped out their basically all the programming and the backup copies of the actual platform itself. So this was a serious hack. It was a targeted hack, and they actually went into the third party company that was managing their website and putting the website up for them. So that's a pretty serious situation, and they think it has something to do with apparently there's a professor from a university, a purported professor of university, who's running, I believe the website was sovereigncitizen.info, or maybe it's .org, where this person feels authorized to go around and put people's lives in danger by calling them sovereign citizens. And apparently this individual targeted this website and said that this was a sovereign citizen website, which is completely hooey. No one in their right mind who knows the law would call themselves a sovereign citizen, because it's basically being tagged as a domestic terrorist, and at this point in time gets you targeted for murder by the establishment, truly. I've never professed to be a sovereign citizen. None of the people that I know that are associated with this website, and I have no affiliation with this group. I'm not party to their organization, but I am aware of what they've been doing. But none of them have ever done that. The website itself doesn't say anything like this, but apparently this professor not only tagged this website as a sovereign citizen court, but put people's names on online calling them a sovereign citizen, which is, again, libel. It is very dangerous. This person professing people to be sovereign citizens are actually putting people's lives in danger when you do that, because a sovereign citizen is deemed a domestic terrorist by the feds and by a lot of states, particularly states that are corrupt, such as the state of Ohio. Now, you couldn't find the definition of a sovereign citizen if you tried to. There is no definition of a sovereign citizen other than it tends to be the term put upon people who are exposing corruption, racketeering, and the bar unions, exposing crimes against humanity, exposing child trafficking, and things like that. So that happened this weekend. So they've turned up the dial on the groups that are exposing them. And this is the interesting point in this, folks. At least in the state of Ohio, and you probably find this in a lot of states, in order for, quote, court to be deemed have jurisdiction, they have to establish personal subject matter and venue jurisdiction. Most people make the mistake of becoming subject to their personal jurisdiction, though the entire court system of the United States is privately run by private closed union shop bar unions in every state, okay? You become subject to their private law when you agree to contract with an attorney. Okay, even when you're brought in against your will under, quote, fake criminal charges, because all causes are civil, but they're calling them criminal, but there are civil causes of action against Things and Rim, Things, the all capital straw man versus the all capital state. These are actions of Things and Rim. These are not criminal cases. These are civil causes of action. But you, as the lawful executor, trustor, settler, fiduciary, and all that stuff, you go and you take an attorney. And by contracting with a member of their private union, you give them personal jurisdiction. There's other trappings such as requesting discovery and all these other things. So, but people garner and give them personal jurisdiction over. So that one's always mostly a check. Okay, you're being held in prison and jail until you contract with them. It's through coercion that they garner personal jurisdiction over you in a civil cause of action against your straw man. The other one is subject matter. That usually has to do with their privately, a violation of their private produced statutes. because the legislature are, again, mostly bar union members, and these are private statutes. They've been private statutes for a very long time, so they kind of get that. But the biggest one that's the most egregious is how they garner venue jurisdiction, and that's by lack of competition. That the legislature will define a seat of court and say there shall be a court in the county of a common pleas nature, blah, blah, blah. And then they go and, as a private business managed by the bar union, they go and they create a common pleas court of the county in all capitals, okay? And they go, well, we must be the court of this particular statute because we're the only corporation with the term court and blah, 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 but common pleas in the county. Okay, so when these common law courts of records pop up, they become competition for the monopoly. And then the venue jurisdiction can be challenged because they're not the only corporation that's affecting the word court. So you have to understand that not only did they take these websites down because they were exposing the racketeering of the private bar union that are not your government but are monopolistically controlling and cooing your government, and who have been able to do this by exempting themselves in the federal monopoly from antitrust laws, thereby trying to make themselves exempt from the Sherman Antitrust Act, which was brought forth right after the Civil War to prevent these very crimes that are being committed against us by these private bar unions. So not only are they shutting them down because they're exposing the crimes of this private Nisi Prius courts, but also because it's creating a competition where venue jurisdiction is not automatic because they're not the only court, see? So that's, you know, that's where things are starting to be exposed. If people understood the law better, it would become clear to them. That's why I really appreciate you giving me these 20-minute venue shots where we discuss these things so that people can become educated to the obvious, at least for me, it's an obvious coup of private law over the de jure law of our country. We are being couped by private, closed union, monopolistic practice bar unions who buy the lawfully ratified 13th Title of Nobility Amendment, which was lawfully ratified by Virginia in 1809, and thereby providing the 3/4 majority of states to ratify it lawfully under the de jure constitution, or even in the de facto and the legitimate constitutions post-Civil War, it's been lawfully ratified. These Title of Nobility esquires, doctors, and priests, which now currently monopolize our governance, as foreign, they are foreign trusts, they are not allowed by the de jure law to hold positions of trust, power, or authority in the United States or either of them. So there's two key things that people have to understand that are affecting and allowing this criminal coup of your government to be perpetuated. One is the obfuscation of the ratification of the Title of Nobility 13th Amendment. If you have access to PACER, and maybe we can get this up on a website somewhere as well. Maybe the people who are doing my info page can get it. It's a very large document. But in case 114 CV 1631 with the District Court of the District of Columbia, in document, I believe it's one of three, exhibit three, I prove the lawful ratification by state documents of the 13th Titles of Nobility by the publication of state papers themselves, in cachette, done. One of which is the revised codes, the revised law and statutes of the state of Virginia that were republished in 1819, and they felt the need to republish them to affirm the laws that were burned during the law of 1812 that they didn't have published necessarily records of at the time. So in 1819, the Congress, the state legislature of the Virginia, the territory, republished the laws of Virginia, affirming the passage of the Titles of Nobility Amendment within their state papers themselves, proving that they were the last of, I think, seven of, or I think they need, I think they were the seventh or the eighth of the 12 that needed to be to ratify the 13th Amendment. So that's in that document. If you have access to paper, I Pacer, I still believe it's up there. So that's been ratified, which then puts all these foreign titles and ability illegitimate in a de jure government. So you have a de facto government. Then you have a de facto government that is creating their own statutes and their own laws to undermine the Constitution. They've exempted themselves from antitrust. They've allowed themselves to run monopolistic practices in private courts. And you all are basically being occupied by your own people. And some of these people know that they're foreign and that they're affecting crimes. Almost all the judges are educated to these crimes and have been bound by their foreign oath to perpetuate it. And the ones who don't like it don't go very far and often are murdered and or leave the practice and refuse to participate. But there's a lot that now are willfully doing it. And they are knowing of it. Not all of them. Not everyone's a bad actor here. Nor is the use of these private title and nobility necessarily barred in public use. Like if you want to go to an attorney who's putting out a placard and use an Esquire, that's your business as a barrister. However, they're not supposed to be holding. They're not supposed to ever hold these positions. Title and nobility while holding office in our government. They have to renounce them. They have to specifically state they are not operating against our instrument. And by the way that the oaths of office are being written with the word United States versus United States of America or the commingled lexiconically amorphous term United States, which can mean a United State de jure, the state Missouri. It could also mean the state of a Missouri, the corporate state. It could mean the union of states, the United States, which could mean the territorial states united de jure, or it could mean the corporate states united, sitting managed by the body politic corporation sitting in the 10x10 square area called the District of Columbia, as defined by Title 28, subsection 300215. It means a lot of things. So when these foreign instruments, these foreign agents who have been sent hither, they're not sent hither anymore. They live among you, get educated, and then take a foreign oath and literally start operating within the confines of our government itself to undermine the Constitution. So these are wars from within, not from without, folks. They're being manipulated and controlled by people from without. But there are people who are knowingly undermining your de jure rights, your Constitution de jure and illegitimate, okay, because even the amendments of the corporation, the corporate United States, have civil privileges and immunities assigned to the 14th Amendment instrument. They're even defrauding that. They're even violating the statutes and codes that protect the civil rights and privileges of the 14th Amendment instrument. So these people are just all about criminals, and they're getting very open about it, and they're starting to expose themselves for what they are. So, you know, the commingling of the term United States, and if I can give you two instruments, or one instrument.
You have 1 minute remaining.
You have a bifurcation. The preamble of the Treaty of Peace of 1789, and then go to Section 1. In the preamble, it talks about the United States of America. In the Section 1, it talks about vis-a-vis the United States. Also, look at any bond forms. They have the United States of America as a surety, indemnifying the United States. You have two forms of government here, folks. I'm only going to call this one time because it's a big phone line here, but I just wanted to give you guys an update. Your government is clearly showing itself for what it is, okay? So just know and open your eyes and start paying attention to what's happening. Thank you for the time. Thank you very much for the time, Daniel.
Namaste, you're welcome.
As always. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Talk to you soon,
right.
Folks.
Sounds
eyes
good.
And ears open. Eyes and ears open. Pray for my freedom. I'm really masses of people, please pray for me to get out of here so we can get this stuff corrected. Pray for everyone's freedom, truly. Let's pray for the restoration of the Republic, the reconstitution of the Republic.
Thank you for using GTL.
And there you go, folks. That's Rexton Lotus Justice.
6, 1, 3, 4, 7, 8.